Next this morning, I do need to point out that the following item contains some adult information because I'm aware it's half term. So if you do not wish young children to hear this, then I'd advise you to just turn your radio down for a few minutes. The latest figures for the number of sexually transmitted infections recorded in residents in Leicester whilst visiting LRI have been released, and it appears that the only age group who do not appear to be listening to advice is the over 45s. The vast majority of cases are in the under 25s and the 25 to 44 year old age brackets, although both those groups have shown a steady decrease in the reported number of cases over the last 2 years. In the over 45s, however, although the number of cases is relatively low, it's the only group where cases of syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia and herpes, for example, are increasing. Now, research into why this might be has revealed that recent divorcees and people coming out of long-term relationships are enjoying a fantastic sex life, and there's nothing wrong with that. But post-menopause, when the risk of pregnancy is over, the use of condoms is often ignored. Now, that coupled with the mistaken belief by some that sexually transmitted infections, or STIs, are a young person's problem, has fueled this issue. So today, as part of a local initiative to try and tackle this, a new website is being launched which will enable you to describe your symptoms and book an appointment for screening in confidence online. And joining me to tell us more about it is Liz Rodrigo, Public Health Principal for the NHS in Leicester City. Morning, Liz.
Morning, Jim.
Tell me then why you felt the need for this website.
We were getting lots of information from people that they thought they didn't know where services were, how to access them, what signs and symptoms of sexually transmitted infections were, what sort of contraception was out there. So we thought it would be a good idea to put everything in one place, easy access, all on one website.
So this is for everybody, not just the over 45s?
This is for everybody.
Okay, but it is interesting to see that that is the only age bracket where who are showing an increase.
Yes, that's right.
So why do you think that is?
I think all of the things that you said earlier are, you know, really valid, that people, you know, have been in relationships, maybe those have broken down, they found themselves in new relationships, don't think about sexual health, something maybe we didn't know a lot about when we were younger.
So on this particular website then, does it provide information as well as an opportunity
yes,
to...
Yes, there's lots of advice and information, so you can go in and find out what the signs and symptoms of sexually transmitted infections
are. Or even
are.
If there are any, because in some cases there aren't.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's true. And also where you can get yourself checked. I mean, most people like to go to their GP, but we have a sexual health service in Leicester that's totally confidential, private, and this allows you to book online and know when you can go in for your appointment rather than just drop in and wait a long time. So
do you find then older generations tend to be a little bit more shy or embarrassed about these issues?
Yeah, I think young people are a lot more open about sexual health and relationships in general. I think talking about relationships for young people is quite difficult, and it's something that we are trying to address in what we're doing in schools, so that people understand what a healthy relationship is rather than diving in. And I think as you get older, maybe that's the same. You know, we haven't had the sex education that was in schools was negligible when I was young.
And then if you've been in a 30-year marriage, maybe emerging from the other side, you are emerging into a very different world when it comes to dating and sexual health. That's very true. I've just passed you a booklet there that the Family Planning Association have produced on relationships and sexual health for the over 50s. It's got some interesting advice in there.
Yeah, that is really good advice in there. It's a nice booklet, easy to read.
Mm-hmm. And your website is leicestersexualhealth.nhs.uk.
Yeah, very easy to find. Just remember Leicester and Sexual Health and NHS and you should find it.
Okay, all right, Liz, thanks very much indeed. Stay there for me. It is interesting because there's a lot of information, not just in that booklet, but also on the website. It is worth accessing, and actually the idea of accessing it might cause you some anxiety, but the truth is this affects everybody. And sexually transmitted infections like the one we've been discussing are eminently treatable, Liz, aren't they? And often
That's
cause
right,
no
yeah.
long-term distress.
Yeah.
However, not all of them are that innocuous. Whilst HIV is no longer necessarily a death sentence, it is incurable, and contracting the virus will change your life forever. It doesn't care how old you are, if your hair is grey or if you have a few wrinkles. HIV is as infectious if you're 20 or 50. Well, Julie contracted HIV in her 40s. She didn't fit any of the stereotypical groups who might be perceived to be high risk. In fact, she was a middle-class woman who could count the number of sexual partners she'd had in her life on one hand. And Julie is with us as well. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Jim.
You're quite an advocate of being open and honest about sexuality and sexual health, aren't you?
I am, absolutely. What happened to me can happen to anybody. Anybody who has sex without a condom can happen to anybody, regardless how old you are, what class of person you are, where you come from. It absolutely has no barriers.
What was your reaction then when you discovered you were HIV positive?
Horror, absolute horror, and fear for my life. And this was nearly 7 years ago now, so it was quite a long time ago. And I just didn't know anything about HIV. I didn't know anything about STIs, to be honest.
What was your life like at the time then?
I was a very successful businesswoman, and leading the nice British life, had a nice life, had the big house, had everything I wanted. And from that day, I just felt that my whole world had fallen apart. Nothing else could have made me feel that way. Absolutely nothing else.
As I understand it, you know how it happened.
Yes.
How do you feel about that now? Or is that not relevant?
That's not relevant. I have to take my part. I'm a great believer that anything happens in life, you have to look at what your part is in it. And I chose to have sex without a condom with somebody, so I have to take my part in that.
In the last 7 years then, how would you say your life has changed since the diagnosis?
I went through a couple of years of absolute hell. And I went through a lot of fear, waiting to die, all those sort of things that we all go through. And then I woke up one day and I actually remember what the consultant had told me. And he told me it's not a death sentence and, Julie, you're going to be okay. But I didn't hear that for 2 years. And then I woke up one day and thought, you know what, I'm going to carry on with my life. At that point, I'd dropped out of society, really. I'd sold everything. I'd gone off and travelled and did what I wanted to do, perceivably, before I died. And then I woke up one day and thought, you know, you need to get on with this now. I'm a very positive person, naturally, so I thought, I'm going to get on with it. And that day, I decided to go back to the consultant and find everything and where I should look. And I learned absolutely everything I could about HIV. But then it was probably another couple of years before I could actually tell anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, so, that's another thing which we'll come on to. But your initial reaction, and which lasted, as you said, for the best part of two years, do you think that was a legacy of the initial campaign behind AIDS and HIV with the gravestone and the Don't Die of Ignorance campaign in the 80s?
To be honest, although when I see them now, because obviously, you know, I've got access to them now, I don't actually remember, because you block things out of your life, and if you don't think it affects you, then you don't take note of it. And it was something that was never going to affect me. I then had to go away and learn. I'm one of these people, if I'm told to do something, I need to know why I have to do that. So I went away and I studied it from top to bottom, so that I knew what it was going to do to my body, how I could stop it doing that to my body. I learned all about the medication. I learned absolutely everything that I could.
What is the treatment like for you now? Because obviously that's changed dramatically in the last decade.
Oh, dramatically. I mean, people who've been positive for 20 years were maybe on 20-plus tablets a day. The new medication now is just one tablet at night. I just take one tablet at night, and that's, at the minute, that's the only way it affects me. I look after myself. I'm very well looked after by the NHS. My cholesterol levels are checked. Everything's checked, so every 3 months I know I'm very healthy. And to be honest, I've met people that I would never, ever have come across if I wasn't HIV positive. I would not have the group of support and family and friends that are so close to me now, wouldn't have happened if I wasn't HIV positive.
Which is a very positive spin, because there must have been some negative reaction from people as well during those years. You said it took you 2 years before you could even tell anybody
this. To be honest, I had to study myself, psychology around it, as to how you tell somebody. So for me, I work out who needs to know, And then I work out, why do they need to know, and what will it benefit me and them by knowing? And if it doesn't benefit me or them by knowing, and they don't need to know, then I don't tell them. They don't. It's not important. It's not a massive part of my life now. Even though I work in the sector, it's not a massive, massive part of my life.
Let me ask you then, what you think about people who behave in a sexually reckless way in this day and age?
I think that the problem is the information. When I was at school, which is quite a few years ago now, we were given very, very basic information, and it wasn't particular about STIs. It was about you don't get pregnant, how not to get pregnant. So it was about contraception. Mm. And I think we've not educated ourselves as we've gone along. We've gone into marriages.
That echoes something you've said, Liz, doesn't it? There is a generation here who are becoming sexually active again post-divorce or what have you, who are ignorant of this information.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's very important to get it out there.
And also the age, contraception's not an issue.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Women go through either hysterectomies, or they've gone through menopause, or they're sterilised and they've had their children. And I was in a silly bubble. I had to be sterilised very early in my life. So I was in this bubble that I was protected. And I was protected from not getting pregnant, but right. I wasn't protected from STIs. And in hindsight, that was a crazy, crazy place to be. So that's why I do what I do, to let other women know you do need to be careful. You need to, I'm not worried about protecting everybody else. You protect yourself and have enough self-esteem to want to protect yourself from STIs.
All the more reason then to be armed with all the information.
Absolutely.
Which takes us back to the website.
Yeah,
Liz.
That's right.
So let's repeat that address once again.
It's www.leicestersexualhealth.com. All one word, that is, .nhs.uk.
Thank you both for coming in this morning. I know it's Valentine's Day today, but that's a great time, really, to talk
Absolutely.
About these things, isn't it?
Yeah. Can I just say one thing, though? Mm. Sexual health, STIs, sometimes you don't get symptoms. This is what people need to know. HIV, you might not get symptoms for 10 or 15 years. So just because you haven't got symptoms, still check out the website. And if you think that you've been at risk, then just go and have a sexual health checkup. Mm. It is free, and it's putting your whole mind at rest.
So the litmus test is if you have been in a sexually risky encounter for whatever reason,
and that's just sex without a condom,
then you need to be checked out.
Or if you're in a new relationship before you have sex,
absolutely
go and get you both checked out,
which is a very positive thing to
absolutely.
Do, isn't it? And,
yeah,
and demonstrates a real commitment to one another.
And that's for everybody, any
okay.
age.
All right, Liz, Julie, thank you both very much. Great pleasure to see you both. Thank you for coming in this morning.